Welcome to part 4 of this 5-part series of study aid videos on modern Chinese history. I'm Dr. Ben Habib from La Trobe University, and in this presentation, we'll be examining nationalist China under Chiang Kai-shek and the Chinese Civil War, spanning the period from 1928 to 1949. In particular, I'll talk about the Kuomintang ascendancy between 1928 and 1937, the Long March, the Second Sino-Japanese War, the resumption of the Civil War after 1945, and the Communist Party victory in 1949 and the establishment of the People's Republic of China. In the last video, we saw how the nationalist movement began to fracture in April of 1927 amidst the Northern Expedition. After the campaign against the Communists in Shanghai, the Kuomintang resumed its campaign against the Northern Warlords and captured Beijing in June of 1928. With the capture of Beijing, most of eastern China was under the Nanjing central government's control, and the KMT received prompt international recognition as the sole legitimate government of China. Here, in the picture, we see the Republic of China government headquarters in Nanjing. As the internationally recognized government of China, Chiang's nationalist regime was able to repeal many of the unequal treaties the Qing government signed with Western powers during the 19th century. In the early 1930s, Chiang launched a series of encirclement campaigns to root out the remaining pockets of communist resistance across several separate locations in China. The fifth encirclement campaign targeted Mao Zedong's Red Army force in Jiangxi province in late 1934. The patient efforts of the KMT troops and their warlord allies to surround and suffocate the Red Army paid off as the nationalists overran the Jiangxi Soviet and forced the communists into a desperate escape. This massive military retreat of the communist forces is what we now know as the Long March. In reality, though, there was not one long march, but a series of marches as various communist armies fled KMT encirclement campaigns to escape to the north and the west. The most well-known, of course, is the march from Jiangxi province led by Mao Zedong and Zhou Enlai. Overall, the march from Jiangxi lasted a year and covered almost 12,500 kilometres, passing through some of China's most rugged terrain. The Red Army had to cross mountains and capture river crossings, heavily defended by hostile warlords and nationalist troops. The most famous of these is depicted here, which was the Battle for Luding Bridge. With no steady supply lines, the Communist Army survived by confiscating property and weapons from local warlords and landlords, while they also recruited support from peasants and the poor, solidifying its appeal to the masses. The march finally ended when the Red Army arrived in Yan'an in Shaanxi province. Of the 100,000 people who set out on the long march in Jiangxi, only 7,000 made it to Yan'an. The long march gave the communists breathing space, however, to recuperate from the KMT onslaught. It also was pivotal in creating the legend that would help the Communist Party win the support of the peasantry, which proved decisive to the eventual outcome of the Civil War. Mao's key role in guiding the retreating communist armies to Yan'an also saw him rise to the undisputed leadership of the Communist Party. As we've discussed in previous videos, the threat from Imperial Japan had been looming for China since the First Sino-Japanese War in the 1890s. The threat, however, became very real in 1931, when Japanese troops crossed the Yalu River from Korea to take the city of Shenyang and conquer all of Manchuria, in what was known as the Mukden Incident, which is depicted here. In July 1937, the Japanese captured a key access point to the city of Beijing, followed the following month by a seaborne attack that took the city of Shanghai. Later in December, the Japanese took the nationalist capital city of Nanking. After capturing the city, the Japanese army went on a murderous rampage, massacring 300,000 of the city's inhabitants in what's known as the Rape of Nanking. In October 1938, Japanese forces captured the city of Wuhan, forcing Chiang and the KMT to set up their provisional capital in the inland city of Chongqing on the upper reaches of the Yangtze River. To counter the looming Japanese threat in 1937, the Kuomintang and the Communist Party forged a truce which was known as the Second United Front. Now, Chiang Kai-shek didn't enter this truce willingly. In fact, he only agreed to it after two of his generals, Jiang Shuiliang and Yang Hucheng, kidnapped him and forced him to sign the agreement in what's known as the Xi'an Incident. This alliance of convenience suspended the Chinese Civil War from 1937 all the way to 1945. From 1939, the combined KMT-Communist-Chinese resistance began turning the tide, defeating the Japanese at Changsha and Guangxi. During this period, the Chinese resistance's main objective was to prolong the war as long as possible in order to exhaust the Japanese army and its resources. Now, unfortunately for the Kuomintang, this tactic of prolonged engagement with the enemy exhausted their own manpower and resources as well, which would be telling at the conclusion of the war. In spite of the truce, KMT and communist troops would clash in 1940 and 1941 in Anhui and Jiangsu provinces. While the KMT emerged victorious in these skirmishes, the battles effectively terminated active cooperation between the two sides against the Japanese. The communists outside of Japanese-held territory withdrew to their Yan'an base to regroup and allowed the KMT to engage in a majority of the heavy fighting with the Japanese Imperial Army. Within Japanese-occupied territory, KMT and communist forces fought against each other. Here, the communists won the day. So by 1945, after the Japanese withdrawal, they controlled almost all of northern China. By the end of 1944, Chinese forces in collaboration with the US and the British were making serious inroads into the Japanese foothold in China. However, it was the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki that brought the Sino-Japanese War, and indeed the war across the entire Pacific theatre, to a close. This also heralded the demise of the Second United Front between the Communist Party and the Kuomintang. The Chinese economy was sapped by the military demands of a long and costly war, as well as ongoing internal strife. It was sapped by spiralling inflation and also by the corruption of the nationalist KMT government, which engaged in profiteering, hoarding and speculation, among other things. The tax burden imposed on the peasantry by the KMT was also a great cause of indignation. So altogether, these factors fueled a swelling of support for the communists. Also, the Communist Army fostered a strong image as guerrilla warriors fighting to defend the people. Through skillful grassroots organisation and a powerful propaganda message, the Communists managed to increase their membership from 100,000 in 1937 to over 1.2 million by 1945. They had also become well-conditioned and skillful fighters after a decade of war with both the KMT and Japan, a big improvement on their fighting abilities prior to 1937. Indeed, the tide had turned from the KMT ascendancy of the 1930s, and the balance of power had firmly shifted towards the communists. Mao Zedong quickly moved his forces to surround the nationalists in key strategic cities, where the assistance of arms from the Soviet Union, as well as confiscated Japanese weaponry, allowed them to rout the exhausted KMT armies. Despite initial KMT victories in 1946, the communists ultimately wore down the nationalist forces over a series of battles from 1947 to 1949, eventually taking the city of Beijing in January of 1949. The communists then took Nanking in April 1949 and pursued the nationalists across southern China until they retreated across the Taiwan Strait to Taipei in December of that year. Chiang Kai-shek was followed to Taiwan by 500,000 of his troops and approximately 2 million nationalist refugees. On October 1, 1949, Mao Zedong proclaimed the People's Republic of China in Beijing atop the gates of the Forbidden City overlooking Tiananmen Square, as we can see here. So to conclude, I'd like to reiterate the key themes of this presentation. The Kuomintang were winning the Chinese Civil War prior to 1937, having pursued the communists out of Jiangxi province and driven them on their long march to Yunnan. It was on the long march, however, that Mao Zedong became the dominant figure within the Communist Party. The Civil War was halted by the invasion of the Japanese Imperial Armies, which led to a truce between the KMT and the Communists, known as the Second United Front. The KMT was exhausted by the war with Japan, while the Communists were able to mobilise mass political support among the rural population, at the same time as minimising their engagement with the Japanese military, allowing them to recuperate. This swinging balance of power led to the Communists' decisive victory over the Nationalists and the proclamation of the People's Republic of China in 1949. In the next video, we'll see how Mao applied the principles of guerrilla-based communist revolution to many different economic and governance problems with disastrous consequences.